Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's only natural to want to preserve the things we care about, from the infinitesimal to the expansive. That's at the core of sustainability, and it impacts not only our personal lives, but our planet. David O'Hara is Director of Sustainability at Augustana University, and he joins us now for a look at a new program with ambitions both sweeping and delicate. David O'Hara, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
So Stephanie Herseth-Sandlin, President of Augustana, was in the studio not too long ago, and we started talking about this sustainability program. And I asked her a couple questions, and we looked at each other, and we paused, and we're like, no, you got to get David O'Hara in here to talk about it. And so here we are, because this is a fairly new program, but it's got some legs under it already.
That's right.
Tell us about the genesis of it. Where did it begin?
Well, it began with an offer from a nonprofit agency that makes grants to universities and colleges like this. So we got a $375,000 grant from a large philanthropy that actually doesn't want to be named. If you dig around, you can find them. But they don't want to be named because they want to draw attention to local communities and not to themselves. Anyway, it's a three-year grant. It allows us to start up a bunch of sustainability initiatives on campus, and that's what we're in the middle of right now.
And this couldn't have been the first time that you as a professor and other folks at Augie have been talking about sort of this concept of environmentalism, sustainability, ecology, et cetera, right?
No, that's right. We've been talking about this for a long time. Of course, sustainability it means a bunch of different things to a bunch of different people. So we've been talking about it in just about every department on campus for a long time. I think everybody talks about it, but we just don't always call it sustainability. I mean, ask anybody who grows up on a farm, are you thinking about sustainability? They might not say yes, because they might not know what you mean by that. If you ask them, are you planning for the future? Are you saving up for what's going to be coming in the next season? Are you preparing for what's about to happen? Are you trying to pass on good things to the people who come after you? They'll say, of course I am. That's sustainability.
All right. So what does that look like at Augustana? What's the focus going to be?
At Augustana, it's got a bunch of different little pieces. You know, we're an educational institution. So one of the biggest things is we want to teach our students to be sustainable, to live sustainably while they're on campus, and then to do sustainable things when they've graduated. This practically for us, it's looking like we're developing a program in environmental studies, for instance. That includes environmental science, but also things like, how do you act sustainably when you're in charge of a corporation? How do you write a sustainable history or write the history of sustainability? What's the relationship between religion and sustainability, and so on? We're also building a classroom on campus, a really inexpensive classroom that I expect will outlast all the other buildings on campus. So this spring we'll be breaking ground on a stone classroom outdoors. Obviously, we're not going to use it when it's 40 below, but something that we can use for much of the rest of the year anyway.
You might, as a sense of adventure.
I might. I'm not sure if my colleagues will, but I would be happy to. I love teaching outdoors regardless of the weather, yeah.
Where is that going to be? What does it look like? How do you plan an outdoor classroom that sort of speaks to multiple things at once? Because that's really what you're doing.
That's right. Yeah. So I also teach in Greece sometimes. And as you know, I teach in Guatemala. There are stone structures in both of those countries that have been around for 1,000 years or several thousand years. So I already have some models. Part of sustainability is looking to history, asking what have people done that's lasted and that's been worth preserving. This is one of the things that we do in religion as well, right? It's one of the things we do in writing a constitution. You know, you write something down that you think will look back to lessons learned in the past and that will have long-term consequences that will be positive consequences. So what does this classroom look like? It's going to be something like one of the ancient Greek theaters in shape. In size, it's going to be big enough for about 25 or 30 people, and it's going to be made of local stone. In fact, it'll be made of three different tiers of local stone. Each of those tiers of local stone will represent a different age in the geologic history of the state. So you can just stand there and look at it and say, oh, that's what South Dakota looks like. There's that quartzite down there. There's that sandstone. There's that granite, and so on.
So the first time that I start thinking about, you know, anything in the environment, have any kind of awareness whatsoever, is actually in college at Hawaii Pacific University when I took a class. And, you know, so much has changed since then. One of the books we read was Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. So right. I've dated myself because that had just come out. Mm-hmm. And that was before he had run for, you know, any kind of major political office, I think. So anyway, that might be incorrect. I have to look at that date. But what I'm wondering is, when did you start sort of thinking about, because I bet it was a little earlier for you.
Well, yeah, I grew up in the mountains in New York, in the Catskill Mountains in New York. And my father passed on to me what was passed on to him by generations mm-hmm. before. We just come from a family that loves the outdoors, love hiking. Dad taught me to fish, you know. So yeah, it's one of those things that's been with me for a long time. When I was in graduate school, I studied to be, as you know, a philosophy and classics professor. And at one point when I was at Penn State, they assigned me the class Philosophy of Nature. And I said, fine, I'll teach it. What is it? And they said, go figure it out. So I spent a lot of time reading, digging around in books. And of course, you know, you mentioned Al Gore, but there's a lot of other books dating back to
Thoreau, wasn't the best.
Rachel Carson.
It was trendy
and Aldo
at the
Leopold.
Time. That was what I remember, is that sort of, yeah, the context had shifted to the sort of political strange conversation versus,
right.
you know, what you had read, you know, from Rachel Carson or Thoreau or other, you know,
yeah.
other people.
But you think about the people like President Roosevelt, and you think about the people who set aside our great national parks. That was sustainability. That was people looking at this and saying, okay, we see what's about to happen. American West is being populated. There's a limited amount of water here in some of these places. So the Grand Canyon, let's set this aside so that this becomes a national treasure.
Yeah.
Obviously, sometimes these things get contentious, but anyone who's looking to the future and asking, how can I become a better ancestor and how can I be a better neighbor to the people around me, is thinking sustainably.
How has this been from an educational standpoint, you know, something the students have responded to, something that brings the faculty into deeper conversation, a recruiting tool, or something that sort of makes, you know, Augustana stand out when students are making their choices? Let's talk a little bit about the faculty conversations first, because I think that's fascinating.
Sure.
Because it's interdepartmental
yep.
Sort of coursework involved here.
Yeah, so one of the things that I want to do with sustainability, and this will not surprise you, is I want to make it sustainable. So what I don't want to do is to build some large administrative structure that requires huge infusions of money and that sort of thing. What I'm trying to do is make use of the courses that we already offer. As I said, people are thinking sustainably all over the place. So as I put together the environmental studies major, I'm basically taking pieces from a bunch of different departments and putting them together. Most of my colleagues are already thinking sustainably. Most of my students are beginning to think sustainably as well. But it's what's been a lot of fun is going and talking to, say, art students and saying, how would you design a piece of art that teaches about sustainability? And almost always they say, what do you mean by sustainability? And it gives me a chance to teach them. So I start telling them some things about, oftentimes I'll just ask them questions. Where does your water come from? And I find most people don't know where their water comes from. Where does your water go to afterwards when you're done with it? Most people don't know that too. Aldo Leopold wrote in his Sand County Almanac that there are two spiritual dangers in not owning a farm. One of them is thinking that your heat comes from the furnace. One of them is thinking that your food comes from the grocery store. You know, just paying attention to where the good things that we enjoy come from is part of what makes us good neighbors and part of what makes us good ancestors. And so I've been talking to students in communication. I've got the public relations student group talking about how do we do Facebook Live events? How do we teach using social media? Of course, the science students, the ones in biology and ecology especially, they already understand a lot of this. The ones in chemistry and physics, they understand quite a lot too. But for the students in, like I mentioned, history, religion, sociology, they've all got the tools already, but many of them just haven't started to think about, what does it mean that we drink water from the Rockies here? What does it mean that what we flush down our toilets becomes the drinking water for people in St. Louis? How do we become better neighbors? And how do we, you know, how do we care for all the resources that pass through us and through our community?
And so for an artist, I mean, you know, kids these days when they, you know, come through the elementary school system, middle school and high school probably have been exposed to different, you know, recycling messages.
Right.
They might think, so you want me to make a poster? but what you're really asking them to do is think more deeply and then
right.
figure out how does that intersect with the work that you're doing as an artist. And that might surprise them and the rest of us with what they sort of end up coming up with that is unlimited.
Right. Yeah. So I have part of the grant money allows me to give small grants to students and to student groups on campus and to allow them to do sustainability projects. So I've come up with a long list of potential projects because usually when I bring this up to students, I say, what would you like to do? Usually the first thing that comes up is more recycling, which always, so I'm a philosophy professor. I always ask the question, where's the recycling go? And most people don't know where the recycling goes. You probably have read about this. In the last year or so, most of our recycling in the entire country isn't going anywhere. Used to be that ships would come from China over to the United States full of all sorts of inexpensive consumer goods. They would sell them. And then what do you send back to China? Well, China was willing to accept all kinds of recycling from us. Mm-hmm. China has discovered, though, that much of the recycling that we sent was dirty. So people sometimes forget you can't recycle a dirty pizza box, for instance. Much of their recycling was dirty, and it was piling up, and they were overflowing with recycling. So now most of our recycling has nowhere to go. Things like aluminum, we've still got a good market for that. Some glass, we've got a market for that. But for a lot of the other stuff, there isn't a very big market. So what I want my students to think about is not just how do I get another recycling bin in my classroom or in my dorm, but what's the business opportunity here? What is it that we could do in this community to take the waste that we produce and turn it into something good for the future? What are the ways that we could reduce the amount of waste that we've got that we don't want? You know, we're just putting 8 million tons of plastic into the ocean every year. We're sending 500 million tons of soil down the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico every year. Wouldn't it be way better if we could find a better use for that plastic than dumping it into the ocean, better use of that soil, like, for instance, growing crops on it? But, you know, they've got to think through these things, and that's part of what I'm doing, is helping students to think, where did the good things come from? Where do they go to when we're done with them? And where are the inefficiencies along the way? One way of thinking about this is what we call the triple bottom line of sustainability. There's three P's: people, planet, profit. We want all three of those to do well. So the triple bottom line, if the people are doing well, but the planet and the profitability aren't doing well, it's not sustainable. You know, if you say, well, we're gonna tax everybody so much that we've now got a great way to have clean drinking water for everybody, that's gonna be good for a little while until you realize there's nothing left to tax, right? And if profitability goes way up, but the people are suffering and the planet is suffering, then again, it's not sustainable in the long run. So sustainability is about this kind of complex problem solving. How do you get lots of different tools from lots of different disciplines to come together to make sure that everybody's doing well?
And how do you analyze public policy to see, you know, if it's meeting those three things? So when you see a headline about the Green New Deal, what exactly does it mean? How do we look at it? How do we evaluate it? And all that happening at once.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about how the students have responded.
It's been thrilling. I got to tell you, usually, of course, the students come to me, like I said, they say, I want to do a solar panel or somewhere, or I want to do a recycling bin. And we start having this conversation. I see their eyes lit up and they realize, okay, the problems that our planet faces right now are big. World's population has doubled in my lifetime. It's quadrupled in my parents' lifetime. And the landmass available for making food has not increased. The amount of fresh water has not increased. The amount of clean air has not increased. This is a potential problem. And then what they start to realize, these are opportunities. Right? I mean, it's really easy to, you know, when people talk about environmentalism, it often comes across as complaining.
Or alarmist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I love to do is to be able to present these things as opportunities and then say, now all those classes that you've been taking where you don't know why you're taking it, those classes are now tools in your toolkit. What are we going to do with those classes to make the world a better place for everybody?
Mm. David O'Hara, author, philosopher, Augustana professor, and director of sustainability at Augustana College. Dr. O'Hara, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time, as always.
It's always a delight to be with you, Lori. Thanks.
And come back anytime and talk more about this.